I have to admit that I almost always feel, I don't know, a little gypped by the fourth week of Advent because Christmas comes to interrupt the week. Advent is my favorite season of the sacred year, and it seems like we've hardly started and then it's over. The Eastern churches have 6 weeks of Advent, and even the Roman Church had 5 until Pope St. Gregory VII, who reigned from 1073 to 1085, shortened it by a week. The Pope would traditionally celebrate Mass today surrounded by the people of Rome in the Church of the 12 Holy Apostles. It's a reminder that this, our entire Advent journey, is all about making disciples. As we close our sermon series on the opening prayers or collects of the Sunday Masses in Advent, today's collect in the ordinary form is actually the prayer that we say at the end of the Angelus, that we pray morning, noon, and night. The prayer actually comes from a Venetian catechism printed in the year 1560. The custom of reciting 3 Hail Marys at morning, noon, and night, though, at the sound of church bells, is attested to as early as 1263 by Sinigardo d'Arezzo. The prayer was thought, even by Pope Pius XII, to have been ordered by Pope Calixtus XIII in 1458 to ask the Virgin Mary's intercession against the Turkish invaders. But that was just another prayer, also at noon, apparently. There's a famous painting by Jean-François Millet, completed in 1859. I know that you've seen it before. You can look it up after Mass if you're not quite sure what I'm talking about, and I'll guarantee that you've seen it. The famous painting of a husband and wife stopping to pray in a field in the midst of their work. It was actually originally entitled Prayer for the Potato Crop, depicting a field in Barbizon, France, with the bell tower of the church at Chaillon-Bière in the background. The artist then thought, how on earth do I sell a painting called Prayer for the Potato Crop? And so he renamed it, thanks be to God, explaining, the idea for the Angelus came to me because I remembered that my grandmother, hearing the church bell ringing while we were working in the fields, always made us stop work to say the Angelus prayer for the poor departed. The Angelus is one of those devotions that has all but disappeared in our own time and is very much in need of restoration. So when you hear our bells at 7 a.m., 12 noon, or 6 p.m., pray it. And if you don't live close enough to hear the bells, then you know what? Like so many things, there is actually an app for that. So go ahead and download your app to pray the Angelus on time. The current translation of the prayer in the ordinary form is a rather less elegant version of the traditional one that you know if you actually pray the Angelus. So, quiz time. Let's pray it together now. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. As we pray this prayer together today, you'll notice that in your Advent wreath at home, the first of the 4 candles on the Advent wreath we light is quite depleted, and the others are depleted in their proportionate turn. Now you may think, well, Father, that beautiful symbolism of the Advent candles you don't have because they're all the same length, right? That's Father's OCD coming out because it drives me crazy that they're not the same length, right? But your Advent wreaths at home and mine too, right? They're all of different lengths, right? As we light them as the season goes on. So that begs the question, how much have you let the light of Advent consume you? How much have you prayed for grace to be poured forth in your heart? Is it overflowing in abundance as you decrease so that He can increase? Or have you maybe just enkindled the flame of the Holy Spirit and need to protect it from blowing out by the mighty winds of a world that is in constant change? Either way, good for you, right? The light is on and the Lord is home. The message of the angel, the archangel Gabriel, has been made known to you, and you said, Credo, I believe. The last Sunday of Advent connects the incarnation with the passion and cross, Bethlehem with Jerusalem, crib and Calvary as a means, a vehicle, a throughway to where? The Paschal mystery, the resurrection of the dead at the end of time, the consummation of all things in a new heaven and a new earth. The purple candles of Advent, which burn down so fast, are signs of us who burn out so quickly on our own. But as we allow ourselves to gaze in wonder at the coming Christ, the burning bush whose flame burned with fire but is not consumed, we yield to the Paschal candle, soon to be lit from new fire at the Easter vigil as the deacon sings the Easter proclamation, the Exultet. The sanctifying power of this night dispels wickedness, washes faults away, restores innocence to the fallen and joy to mourners, drives out hatred, fosters concord, and brings down the mighty. On this, your night of grace, Holy Father, accept this candle, a solemn offering, the work of bees and of your servants' hands, an evening sacrifice of praise, this gift from your most holy church. But now we know the praises of this pillar, which glowing fire ignites for God's honor, a fire into many flames divided, yet never dimmed by the sharing of its light. For it is fed by melting wax, drawn out by mother bees to build a torch so precious. O truly blessed night, when things of heaven are wed to those of earth and divine to the human. Therefore, O Lord, we pray you that this candle, hallowed to the honor of your name, may persevere undimmed to overcome the darkness of this night. Thomas Cranmer, in his 1549 Book of Common Prayer, actually translated the medieval Latin collect that was used for the great Sarum Rite at Salisbury Cathedral, which is in turn based on our Galatian Sacramentary used in Rome and present in the extraordinary form, and also appears in our ordinary form on Thursday of the first week of Advent. So it's actually common to all of them. Now, one of the reasons that we've been looking at these Anglican collects is not because we're trying to be all ecumenical and Irenic, but because they're masterpieces of the English language. No one has improved on the heretical archbishop's translation of this ancient Catholic prayer, and so we present it here. Stir up your power, O Lord. How many times have we heard that in the Collects of Advent? Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And as we are sorely hindered by our sins from running the race that is set before us, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. In medieval England, every collect of Advent began with this stirring up, so evocative of God's hastening from his celestial throne to meet us. There was a young man in his 20s named David Roseberry who was weighed down by his own sinful past. He couldn't see a way forward in life at all. He didn't know what he believed or whether he believed in anything at all, and he was absolutely nearing the end of his rope with despair. And so he went to go see his pastor for spiritual help, and he was given that collect to pray over. And it changed his life. He wrote, "I sat in the church that evening after the priest left, reading the prayer repeatedly. Stir up great might, sorely hindered, grace and mercy, speedily help and deliver. The phrases and images moved my heart and impacted my mind. They applied directly to me and the mess I had created. When I stood up to leave, I felt completely different. It seemed to me that I was lighter than I had been, as if I'd lost weight. I left the church, and halfway out the door, I had to look down at my shoes. It felt to me like I was wearing someone else's shoes. I was different. I had been unburdened." My dear friends in Christ, I know that a lot of us who are here in church this morning, maybe we're also weighed down by the past. We see our sins, we see our limitations, we see our failures, we think that we're not enough, right? We're trying to just get through to the next 24-hour period and then repeat the whole cycle all over again. And Christmas, with all of its joy and merriment, we want to engage in, but sometimes we can find it kind of hard, right? It's not just the brokenness of the world, but the brokenness of our families, of our society, of our workplaces, on and on and on and on. So you know what? If you want to be unburdened by what has been, there's no better way than letting your heart be merry and bright at the Christmas miracle.